If you will, turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter number 1. Just got something on my mind tonight that I want to try to share my heart with you tonight, I guess. And, you know, we live in the greatest country in the world. As far as I'm concerned, it's the greatest place on the face of the earth. I know there's one place that I'd rather live, and I'm not in any hurry to get there, and that's heaven. But I know that's a better place than where we're at now. But as things go on the earth, I know that America is the best of the best. And I know that people come from all other countries to come to this nation to start a new life. They have for centuries since America was founded. And I know we live in a great, great nation, but I tell you, America is getting so far away from God that it's unreal. And it really bothers me and it troubles me that my nation that I love so much is getting so far from the Lord. And in Romans chapter number 1, Paul wrote here to the Roman church, and he sort of gives them an insight of some things that's happening. And starting with verse number 28 tonight, the Bible said, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, and wickedness, and covetousness, and maliciousness, full of envy and murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. We ask you, Lord, that you just bless the scriptures tonight, bless the message that you've laid on our heart for this evening. We ask you, God, that it would be a help to somebody here in the house of God tonight. Lord, just go with us. And God, as we say so many times, hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that only Jesus would be present here in this service. God, let the people hear him tonight. Lord, would you bless our nation, bless our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Want to think about tonight just for a few minutes, and somebody mentioned here this morning about the shooting out here at the high school last week, and certainly is a tragedy, but it's not the first time it's happened. It'd be bad enough if it was the first time it's happened, but it's not the first time it's ever happened. It won't be the last, I'm afraid. It's just something that we're going to have to learn to live with, I suppose, because there's nothing anybody can do about it. Apparently, they try their best to keep things like that from happening, and they talk about this and they talk about that. But one thing that they never do talk about, and that is getting God back in the situation. I say so many times, if the people up in Washington that's trying to figure out how to stop all this stuff, if they just call this dumb old preacher, I could tell them a thing or two about putting a stop to a whole lot of it. I know you can't stop all of it. I know there's always been violence in the land, but there's never been violence in the land as much as there is today. And it's simply for the reason why that people don't want to retain God in their knowledge. They don't want God in anything that they have anything to do with. If you read in the Old Testament scriptures, you read where that the Bible teaches us that the children of Israel was brought out of the land of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea. They went into the wilderness and God took care of them. My wife just sung a song there that we got treasures unseen, and certainly they did. They was in the wilderness, and the Bible teaches me that their shoes never wore out in 40 years. Their clothes never wore out in 40 years, and they crossed the Jordan River, and they set up the monument that God told them to set up, that when their children would ask them, "What is this?" they would tell them about God and the things that He did. And they the Bible says in the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua that the Joshua said, "Choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." And the people said, "God forbid that we should serve anything besides God." And they made a pact and a covenant that day that they would always serve God. And they did. The Bible said that that generation of Joshua and his generation, they served God. But then you turn over into the book of Judges and you find where the Bible said that there in the first couple of chapters of the book of Judges that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It didn't say he did what was right in God's eyes. It didn't say he sought the Lord. It said he done what he thought was right. And that's what people are doing so much today. We got a world that we live in where people are doing what they think's right, and they're not taking any time or any concern to pick up the book and see what the Bible said is right. We need to get back to the pages of God's Word and find out what God says is right, and that is what we need to do. The Bible said, Jeremiah said, "Seek ye out the old path, ask for the old path, and when you find it, walk in it." And the people said, "We don't want to do that." And that is exactly where we're at today. God bless the children of Israel so much, and all they did was forgot about Him. They came to a point in their life when they didn't even know who God was. They didn't retain God in their knowledge, and they never knew anything about Him. That next generation that came after Joshua, they found themselves going after idol gods. They found themselves worshiping things that was just stone and wood. And God said in one place, said, "Ask him to get up." They can't get up because there's no breath in them. There's no life in those things that people have a tendency to want to serve and worship today. And America is just exactly following in that footstep. We come to the point in our life, America was founded in 1776 on July the 4th, I guess, is when the Declaration of Independence was signed. And there was a group of men got together and signed that thing and declared their independence from England, and they figured they was signing their own death warrant because they knew that it was treason and they would be put to death if they were ever captured for that signature that they put on there. But on the Declaration of Independence, they had Thomas Jefferson, I believe it was, that wrote up the main draft of it, and they looked at it and they said, "It's good, but the only thing is I don't have enough in here about the Creator. You don't have enough about God. You don't have enough in here pointing toward Jesus. You don't have enough in here that says that this nation's going to be a nation that will serve God and will trust God for what we need." And so they added a few things to it. And when it came out, a complete finished product, it gave us a nation that trusted in God. On our money system, we still have, I guess, I haven't looked lately, I know they was trying to get it off for a while, but we had it stamped on our money, "In God we trust." I used to see it around different places. If you went into a post office, I could see it over the lintel of the door, "In God we trust." If you walked into a school, you could find "In God we trust" over the door. People trusted God, loved God, served God, worshiped God. But I want to
tell you something. We're in a day today when America has turned their back and walked away from God. I was reading about the man here the other week that had the Ten Commandments on his courthouse walls. On the hallway, I guess, down in Alabama, you know, there's such a stink rose up over that. They wanted him to take it down, and he wouldn't. And they finally got it took down. They not only got it took down, but they removed him from being a judge in Alabama because he displayed the Ten Commandments of God on the courthouse wall. And not only did they do that, but right now they're in a process of trying to get him banned from practicing law in the state of Alabama because he hung the Ten Commandments up and in the courthouse where he was a judge at. Listen, that is not the America that God blesses so much. That is not the America that has come more farther in 250 years than a lot of nations have come in 5,500, 6,000 years that a lot of them have been in existence that haven't come anywhere near as far as America has in 250 years. You know why? Because they didn't put anything about God in their declaration. They didn't serve God. They didn't worship God. And most of them didn't even believe in God. And he don't believe much in them either. And America, the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and we're letting these organizations, ACLU and all this other bunch, come in, and they're just booting God out of everything that's coming and going. Oh, we ask the question, I've heard it so many times for the last few days, how could this happen? How could a child, 15-year-old child, bring a gun to school and shoot another classmate? How could that happen? I want to tell you something. It happened because we, America, when I say we, I know there's some here, the people here, the congregation here, we believe in God, we trust in God, we try to serve God, we live for God to the best of our ability, and we try to get others to do so, but America has turned her back on God and walked away and said, I don't want anything else to do with you, God, just go ahead and get out of our lives. We can handle it on our own from here. I heard a man this last week told me a little joke, and I'm not much of a jokester from the pulpit, but it's not really all that funny, but I found it amusing. He said a man was talking to God and said, we don't need you anymore. We can do everything our own self. We can even create life. We can make a man. God said, really, how do you do that? He said, same way you do. We take a little dirt and we add a little life and we get a man. And he said, let me see you do that. But I want you to use your own dirt. We don't have any dirt. It all comes from God. God owns it all. And you take what God has in it out and there is nothing. We think we can do it on our own. We can't do anything without God. We can't do anything without God's creative hand and his blessing hand. When those airplanes hit the World Trade Center on 9/11, the signs went up everywhere. God bless America. God bless America. God bless America. I looked at those signs, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I agree with that. I believe in that. But I want to tell you something. God has blessed America. America needs to bless God. And one man put up a sign, said, America bless God. And they made him take it down. I said, we can't have that. That's exactly what we need. We need America to turn back to God. And you know, you say, preacher, why are you talking to us like this? Because America is no different than a church. It's made up of individuals. When the first ones came here, there was a handful, and people just kept coming in, and people were born here, and individuals make up the nation of America. And it's the same thing makes up a church. It's the same thing makes up a family. Is individuals. It's not a great big conglomeration. It's not one person, but it's a bunch of individuals that come together and call themselves America. And listen, those individuals need to turn their heart back to God. We need to get back to where we was founded on. We need to get back to where America was founded and back to what our principles was in the beginning when they opened their parliaments and their assemblies in Washington with prayer. And I mean sincere prayer. I know they still have somebody come in and read a little prayer off something every once in a while, but that's not prayer. I want to tell you something. That's just a mockery. That's just a formality. That's something they said, well, we've done it for 300 years. We might as well go ahead and let them do it again. And they really don't care about it all that much, and they really don't believe in it all that much, but it's just a formality. And that's what a lot of people in our churches go through. The Bible said, Paul said, in the last days they'd have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And that's where we're at, church. A lot of our churches are doing that. They've got a form of godliness. Oh, we get up and we sing all the right song. I'm not talking about this church. Praise God. I tell everybody we got the best church in the United States, as far as I'm concerned. I tell people that. They say, well, really? I say, yeah. They say, I feel that way about my church. I said, I wouldn't think much of you if you didn't. But I feel like that I've got the best church in the world. I mean, we got something here that a lot of churches don't have, and that's the Spirit of God and the free flowing Spirit of God flowing through the congregation every service. And we got freedom to worship, and we got people that really love and praise God. And I tell you, you can't find that just everywhere. But people today have got such a form. You go into their churches and they're doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. It's repetitious and it's all the right stuff, but there's no fire. There's no power in it whatsoever. And listen, we need to get back to God. But America needs to turn her face back toward God. There's a verse in the book of Psalms. I can't remember exactly what chapter and verse it is, but it said, all people, or the people will be turned into hell, and so will every nation that forgets God. And listen, America is on a downhill slide. We're in a world where people got all their mind and their thinking twisted. We wonder how somebody can go into a school, one individual, and shoot another. I remember when I was in school, it wasn't nothing. It was about an everyday occurrence to see two guys double up their fists and just start swinging at each other and knock each other down, knock each other out or whatever. And after it's all over with, they're best friends. They wasn't either one of them dead after it's over. It wasn't nothing to see somebody get into a fist fight. They'd go out on the football field. They'd go out behind Cas Walkers. They'd go out behind the Crystal. They'd go somewhere, and they'd take it out. And, buddy, I mean, they'd wire each other out. And after it was over with, it was over with. But now we're living in a day when they get mad about something, their girlfriend breaks up with them or any other little piddling thing like that, and they bring a gun to school and just start shooting everybody. I didn't have anything to do with your girlfriend breaking up with you. What are you shooting at me for? But that's what they're doing. You know why? Because God is so far away from it all. We say, how can this happen? How can this happen in America? Let me tell you something. I don't know how many of you heard this. I saw on the news last week where that they had a whale over in Sydney, Australia, I believe it was, that lost, got separated from its mother. It was a humpback baby whale. They said about 3 months old or something. And they tried, it's untelling how much money they spent trying to save that whale. And they finally had to euthanize it because they figured that was the most civil, humane thing they could do, because it was just getting weaker and sicker all the time. And it really bothered them. They were so tore up over having to kill this baby humpback whale. And I went on the internet and I punched in something on how many abortions have been committed. And I don't know if this number is in America or in the world, but I come up with nearly 50 million since 1973 to 2006. Now, 50 million babies can be aborted and nobody seems to care, and yet the whole world gets turned upside down over one baby humpback whale that's lost its mama. And then we wonder, how can some child go into a school and shoot somebody? Well, that's how you do it. When you get so far away from God that you care more about a whale than you do about 50 million babies, that we're on the wrong path, church. I want to tell you something. We are going down the wrong trail at a high rate of speed. That's where we are. And it don't matter who
our politicians are that try to stand up and stop abortion. There'll be 10 times that many say, you ain't going to stop it, man. We like it, and we're going to keep it, and it's something that has to be. And they just keep killing the unborn child. They just keep aborting those innocent children, and they just keep on, and yet they're so worried about euthanizing one whale. And then we say, how can this be? Well, it can be because that's where the world has gotten, and America right in the mix with it. We have gotten so far away from God that our mind is twisted and our thinking is all wrong. Paul said here in this first chapter of Romans in the 28th verse, he said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's where we are today. I guarantee you the ACLU would be tickled to death if nobody ever said God again, or especially if they never said Jesus Christ. That would suit them just fine if nobody ever mentioned those two names ever again. They'd be tickled to death, because that is what their plight in life is, to try to stamp out all they can about God. Listen, I don't care how much religion they stamp out. I wish they would. I don't like religion. I'd like to stamp out some of that myself, but you don't stamp out God, and you don't stamp out Jesus and get by with it. But that's what they want to do. They don't want to retain God in their memory. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. I remember when I was in school, we'd go in every morning and we'd sit down in our seat, and the teacher would open her desk drawer and she'd pull a Bible out and set it up on the desk and open it up, and she'd read from the pages of God's Word. And then we'd all stand and we'd recite the Lord's Prayer. And then we'd recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. That was a different America back then. But listen, they came along back in the 60s, I guess it was. Madam Madeleine O'Hara came along, and she managed somehow to get them to pass a law that you couldn't pray in school anymore and you couldn't read a Bible anymore. I want to tell you something. If those young men that out there at that school the other day, if anybody would have ever read one verse out of the Word of God to them, just one verse, and had one prayer with them, that might not have happened. I mean, we're looking at a situation where the chances are neither one of those young men ever knew anything about God. I don't know. I mean, I'm just surmising now, but you know, that's where most of the world is today. Our children, unless they are took to church, they know nothing about God, and the majority of them are not took to church. The majority of them are not. I know they're not, because when I used to drive to the church, I'd pass the ball fields and they'd be at 200 kids out there playing soccer, and I get to church and there wasn't but three children in the church. That tells me that most of the children are not going to church. They're several hundred times more that ain't going than they are that is going. And then we wonder why they don't know anything about loving one another. We wonder why they don't know anything about caring about one another. We wonder how that they can get their minds so warped and so twisted. It's not hard if you don't have God, because the devil comes along and he'll warp and twist it for you. Paul said here they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge, and being filled with unrighteousness. Listen to what the Bible, Paul said, this is what they was doing. They was filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. They was full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, contrary, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, and unmerciful. Now, that's a pretty rotten bunch of people there, and that's what I see in America. Every bit of that stuff is what I see in this great nation that we call America. Because the more you get God out, the more the devil's going to put all these other things in. It ain't no wonder Paul said, be filled with the Spirit.
Boy, I'll tell you, if you get your life and your heart filled with the Spirit, there won't be no room for nothing else in there. You keep yourself full of the Spirit and the devil won't have a chance. But if you let a little bit of that Spirit get out of your life, then the devil said, there's me a spot, and he'll cram something in there. And you let a little bit more of that Spirit depart, and the devil said, there's me another place, and he'll drive something else in. Next thing you know, you'll be just like these people that Paul was talking about here, and you'll say, what in the world happened to me? I used to be filled with the Spirit. If you let the devil, I guarantee you, he'll kick God out of your life, your very life, and he'll come in and he'll move in and take over. And I tell you, he'll make you worse than you ever thought about being. You'll do things that you never dreamed of if you let the devil take over your life. Listen, we need to turn back to God. We need to seek God. The Bible said, what we read in the book of Amos this morning, God said, I've sent pestilence to you. I sent all these things to you, and you still didn't turn to me. America is no different than all the rest of the world today as I can see it. People come to this country, they say, boy, it's a great nation. Used to be. Well, it still is. I wouldn't trade it for anything else. But I want to tell you something, it's getting worse all the time. Because people used to believe in God, and they prayed and they sought God and they taught people about God. I remember a time in America when people respected God's people. I don't know, most of you here, some of you here is old enough to remember that time. Some of you probably don't remember that time because it's not happened in your lifetime, but I remember it. I remember a time when that if they found out you was a preacher, they'd watch their language. Oh, they still do. If they find out you're a preacher, they'll cuss more than they would have if you wasn't a preacher. That's how they're watching it now. They, instead of respecting you and trying to watch what they say, they disrespect you and just try to say all they can just to see how much you'll take. I remember a time when a man came to my dad's house to get him to work on an automobile. And standing out there talking, this gentleman owned the car. He said a little cuss word. I don't even remember what it was. I was standing there beside Dad. I just a little boy. And the man that brought in this gentleman down there to have his car worked on said, that's it. Get in the car. We're leaving. I told you about that. These people are Christians. And I told you to watch your language when you got here. And he said, I'm sorry. It just slipped out. He said, if it slips out one more time, we're leaving. People used to be like that. They don't care anymore. Used to be that people wouldn't hardly curse around the ladies. But I tell you, we're living in time. I've seen the ladies curse worse than the men. Ain't no wonder there's no respect anymore. We're living in a place. It's all changed from what it was when I was a little boy growing up. I remember when people had respect for the house of God. People wouldn't come into the house of God dressed certain ways, or people wouldn't come into the house of God if they wouldn't bring certain things into God's house. But I tell you, if you don't stand the door and watch them now, they're liable to carry anything in. We had a group here not too long ago, had a wedding over here. I was standing at the back door. They came in here for wedding practice. Every one of them had a Mountain Dew or a Coke in their hand. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. That stuff does not go into God's house. Why not? Because I said it don't. Set it on the porch or set out here with it. You ain't going in the house of God with it. Was a time when nobody wouldn't have even thought about it. But now, if you don't just stand the door and police them, you're liable to wind up with anything in God's house. And people don't care. There's no respect. It's a dedicated place to God, but there's no respect for it much anymore. Just among God's people, that's all. I mean, everybody else ain't got much respect for it. I hear of churches all the time being robbed. People break in, steal all their equipment, take everything that they can find that ain't nailed down. I tell you, there was a day when you could have left all the doors open and nobody would have thought about taking anything out of the house of God. But we are living in a different time because Paul said they didn't want to retain God in their mind. And that's where we're at, church. That's where America is. And that's how that a 15-year-old boy can go into a high school and shoot another 15-year-old boy to death because he just don't retain God in his memory. He don't have anything to do with God. I tell you, it's a sad day that we're living in. It's a sad time, a sad world. And Paul said it was happening, and Jesus said it was going to happen. The Bible says that violence would fill the land. I tell you, it is. It's just about done it. It's just getting worse and worse all the time. I hear things today that used to, I wouldn't even imagine.
ever hearing about people doing to one another? But nobody cares anymore. The majority of people don't have any concern or any care. Preacher, why are you telling us all this? What can we do? Listen, America, like I said, made up of individuals. You're an individual. Each one of us today, if we would pray just a little bit more, if we would seek God just a little bit more, if we would spread the gospel just a little bit more, I can't do very much. I'm just one person. But if I talk to everybody that I can see, that I can find a way to talk to them, and if I can just tell them about Jesus, people walk up to me all the time. They say, what do you say? Used to, I'd say, oh, nothing. Now I say that Jesus still saves and God is still on the throne. They look at you kind of funny, and usually that's the end of the conversation. But at least I got that much in. I got that much air. Once in a while you get somebody to say, praise God, you know, and then you can stand there and have a good time talking then. But we need to look for open doors and opportunities to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we as individuals would get out, and if every other church, every other Christian person would get out and begin to spread the gospel as much as the devil's spreading his bunch of stuff that he's spreading. If we could just try to keep up with him. I know we can't keep up with him. He's got more workers than we do. But we are to try. We need to try to get America back on her knees. We need to get back on our knees. You can change America by praying more and turning your house toward the Lord. Joshua said, as for me and my house, he said, you can choose this day whom you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I tell you, you can choose to serve God or you can choose not to. If you choose to serve him, maybe somebody will see you and follow. If you choose not to serve him, I know somebody will see you and they won't have any problem following you then. Listen, we need to get on our knees about our nation. America's in trouble tonight, church. We really are. We're worried about the price of gasoline. You know, people, the price of gas has probably got people praying more than anything else that's ever happened in this country. Well, people get upset about it and say, oh, God, you need to help get that back down. I mean, man, we can't even get out and ride our motorboats. They take too much gas and we can't afford it. Well, good, maybe you come to church more. I couldn't afford to run one. Listen, the price of gas today, whether you realize it or not, it's what's drove up the price of a dozen eggs. It's drove up the price of a pound of flour. It's what drove up all the stuff in the grocery stores. It's what drove up the price of produce. It's what drove up the price of watermelons. It's what drove up the price of clothing. It's what drove up the price of shoes. Everything that you go buy is tied to that oil price. And with the oil price going through the roof like it has been here lately, you can only look for higher prices, and you might as well get used to it and just roll your sleeves up and get real close to God and he'll take care of you. America needs to turn back to God. Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity you give us to stand and preach the gospel. Lord, I ask you, Father, tonight to help me to do what I can to try to get America to turn her back towards you. God, we know today, Father, that the devil, the enemy, has come in and led America astray. Father, we've allowed certain organizations to come into this country, Lord, and they've led people away from God. Lord, we ask you today to help us as a church here, Father, as an individual organization, God, that we're here today, Father, that we would do everything that we can to try to turn America back to you. Lord God, we know today that the church is alive. The church is a living organism. We ask you, Father, just to help us to spread that life, Father, in the story of Jesus Christ across this world. God, help us, Lord, tonight that we would turn as many hearts toward you as we could. Father, bless each one here tonight. God, if there's one that's lost, one that's turned their back on you, Lord, we ask you to help them tonight that they would come and accept you. Father, take up their cross and follow you daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we stand tonight, while we sing, I wonder tonight, is there somebody here that would come? Somebody here tonight that would turn to Jesus? Somebody that would come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need the help to try to turn America back to God. I want to do my part to try to turn America around. Would you do that right now while we sing?